Hi, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Jamie, for giving me a chance to come up and just share some of my story and just always believing in me and pushing me to be greater in my faith walk. So thank you for that. And also, thank you all for giving me a space to feel comfortable to share it. Before writing, I kept asking God, like, where do I begin? Where do I begin to even tell my story? How do I convey just how magnificent and wonderful you are? And as Sunday got closer, and to be honest, it actually took me like Saturday night. It dawned on me that I don't have to prove that he's magnificent. I just have to show you how he's been magnificent in my life. And if that touches someone today, and if that moves even just one person, his will has been done. So God put three verses on my heart to help drive the message of love home and to remind me along the way that it's okay to share this. The first verse that came to my mind was Romans 8, 38 and 39. And it's, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears of today or our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or even in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Being honest with myself, it took me a while to even understand or even begin to feel that God loves me. To know what that meant to me, to know what he mattered to me, to even know that I mattered to him. I wish it wouldn't have taken me so long to realize it, but God had a bigger purpose in my life. When I was growing up, love was not really an important thing in my house. At least not shown in the way that God intended it. Things like patience, kindness, joy, love, peacefulness. My parents got divorced when I was a baby, and when they split, my dad took his youngest two children. That was me and my big brother. Being raised by a man, he wasn't truly prepared for all the things that came along with that. He was okay with doing my hair and, you know, buying my clothes, but he forgot one of the most important things for a little girl, and that's to teach her how to spot danger or to know a predator. The first time I remember hearing the words, "I love you," it was wrapped in manipulation, pain, and trauma. My 5 or 6 year old self tried to tell my dad what happened, and he just shrugged it off and said, "Well, it's okay. You're fine. Nothing's wrong." And unfortunately, that taught me that it was okay for love to feel that way. And no one was there to teach me otherwise. In fact, it was quite the opposite. Adult relationships growing up around me were full of abuse, manipulation, cheating, submission, creating this lie of what love was supposed to look like. My brother and I came to Florida to live with my mom when I was around 11. Somehow I thought that would fill this void or this emptiness I had been feeling. And in the beginning, everything was wonderful. I had sisters I could get to know, and, I had people around me. So I thought, that will help me. That will give me love. And this is also when church became a bigger part of my life. Living with my mom, who was a full-time devout Baptist, meant that we were in church all the time. I was in choir. I was on the praise and worship team. We went to conferences and Bible camps. And actually, the Bible camp was actually kind of fun. I like that one. We did beauty pageants and participated in Bible bowls. That's how I know, like, so many verses. So I'm ready. I heard of God, but I did not really know what he should mean to me or even what I meant to him. Eventually, one of my older sisters got tired of us being around, and the resentment that she built up over the years of our dad not taking her became our problem. She started to treat us badly And at times it was even physically, especially towards me. We tried to tell her that he wasn't the best person to grow up with, but that didn't matter much. She was even physical with our mom sometimes when she would try to protect me. And again, that just confirmed that love meant pain, control, and anger. Being the youngest of four, I guess I made an easy target at home. Name calling, like calling me white because of the way I talk, and gay because I was caught with a girl before, which brought on shame and guilt. And of course, it didn't sit well with my Baptist mother. It led to lectures about how same-sex relationships were wrong and how I was an abomination. That word was like a dagger in my heart growing up. It meant unacceptable and unlovable, which isolated me even more. At 13 or 14, my self-destructive behavior started. Sneaking out at night, being promiscuous, partying, skipping school, and running away from home. I became so shut off and cold, looking for this thing I felt I would never obtain and trying to find it in any place I could. So many times, things could have gone the wrong way for me. The path I was taking was very risky. Our mom would anoint our heads with oils in the morning and make us pray at night as a family. And honestly, that felt like a joke to me. To be honest, sometimes I treated it that way. He wasn't going to hear me. He wasn't going to listen to me. That is where I was in that point in my life. But I am thankful, because what that taught me, even though at the time I thought it was pointless, it was instilling something in me that was waiting and just lying dormant, waiting to come alive. She finally had enough of me one day when I ran away, when we were supposed to be taking a trip to Texas to visit her family. It was a non-refundable ticket. She made sure to tell me that part. So when they couldn't find me, they just left me behind. She didn't know it at the time, but I was afraid to go to Texas because in my mind, the person who hurt me would be able to get to me there because that's the state it happened in. It seemed perfectly logical to me to run away. I was a kid. When she got back, I finally told her the truth about what happened, mostly because she kind of figured it out. She started picking, and I finally told her. It didn't stop me from being sent back to live with my dad, but at least it was off my chest. Life from there on didn't quite go as planned. In fact, it was like going through Babylon, which recalled this verse for me, Jeremiah 29:11-14. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you future and hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and I will bring you home to your own land. Once back with my dad, it started off well. I was in 10th grade at this point, and I was getting A's and B's like he drilled and spanked into me, just trying to get my life back on track and back together. But my stepmother wasn't very fond of me, so they kicked me out to live with the same sister who had moved there just a couple of months after me. Feeling abandonment and loneliness, I went back to partying and numbing myself. Not having a parental figure led me to get pregnant with my first child at 16. And I wanted to be the best mother I could for her. So I went back to school, I got my diploma, I went to CNA school and started working. Unfortunately, severe postpartum depression, coupled with a controlling and void of love relationship, led to my first suicide attempt. Even with being used and cheated on and abused, after all, that's the relationships I seen growing up and associated with love. The doctor told me I shouldn't be alive the second time it happened. And that's when I gathered the strength to leave, which was one of the hardest things because I had to leave my baby girl behind. And I wasn't able to get her for at least a year. Soon in another relationship and pregnant with my second child, conformed to this box, we got married. It didn't last long due to unhappiness, alcoholism, and abuse. And during those times, gospel music was my escape. I longed for the love that I heard about in those words. And every other relationship following was just like a vicious merry-go-round that I just couldn't seem to get off. By 2014, I was 25 with 4 children. And if there is one regret about my past, it is that my emptiness, trauma, and abuse had become my children's problem too. Repeating the same cycles I had seen played out when I was growing up. My dad offered for us to move from Texas to Florida and live with him to get a change of scenery and to better our life. He was still with that same stepmother. And even though I was working, paying rent, had a car, and the only thing left I had to do was find a house, she didn't care. So we were kicked out again. I begged her and my dad to at least just let my children stay here. But they refused. Because it wasn't like my children were the problem. Y'all met them. They were and are amazing kids, and I'm so proud of all of them. When I am going through my phases of feeling bad or just apologizing to them for the past, they tell me, "Mom, you did the best you could. Look at us, we're okay." Consoling me, that's crazy. They are truly a blessing and the reason I wake up every day. And still, I still wish I could take that part of our life away from them. We had to stay in some questionable places. And finally, I was able to get us at St. Vincent de Paul, the family shelter. And that's when it happened for me. Sitting across the table from this lady with 2 babies on my hip, and she was explaining to me all these rules that come with being in the shelter. Things like we had to leave every day from 12 to like 5 o'clock or something, and we could come back then. We couldn't talk to any of the veterans that were living in St. Vincent de Paul, even though we literally walked the halls with them. It was strange. And we always had to take our diapers outside. And for some reason, that one right there broke me down. I just remember crying out to God right then as this woman was trying to console me and just asking him, "Please, just help me get out of this situation. Please, just help me." And I know he heard my cry because from then on, my life changed. Which brings me to the last verse, 1 John 4:16-19. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love, live in God. And God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is because of fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. I started seeing God in my life everywhere. It was like a whole other world opened to me. He sent me this amazing family navigator. Her name was Lynette. And she went over and beyond to get me stable. And when my car broke down 2 days after my birthday, which should have seemed like something to freak out about, he sent someone to fix that too. In fact, he sent me two people didn't know each other by the same name. Isn't that crazy? They literally had the same name. One of them was one of those veterans I wasn't supposed to talk to. And one of them fixed the car, and one of them got the part for me because I didn't have the money at the time. And they did all of this while I was still living at that shelter. And having that car back fixed helped me get to the job interview that I had. And that job changed my life also. They taught me how to change my perspective. They were business coaches. However, they also basically coached life. And they gave me this book to read. It was called Andy Andrews, The Noticer. It's an amazing read. I highly recommend it. It's very short. And there was many similarities in that book to my life. And it just opened me up even more to something that could be greater or better. And from all of that connection came this connection between God and love. If he is love, and we don't know what it is, then how will we know him? How could we feel a connection to God if we had no connection with love? Sometimes we have love in our life, and it's right in front of us, but we don't even see it because it's hidden in rejection, shame, and guilt. It can be a friendship, a family member, or even from a total stranger. Like when you're stuck in addiction and you have that person that just won't seem to give up on you. No matter what you do, they just don't seem to give up on you. That's love. And that is God trying to reveal himself in your life, telling you that I am here. I haven't given up on you. Or when you're in depression and you're trying to hide it away and you have that friend that just won't let you stay in it. Embrace that. Because that's love. I have been in both of those places and felt like God would not hear me or care. But he is always there waiting for us to cry out to him confidently and to bring us out of our Babylons. He will use people in our lives to send us love and to show us that he is here for us. Never truly having love, I cried out to God with an openness and a willingness to receive. And I asked him for exactly what I want and what I deserved. And I said, Lord, if it be your will, send me a partner. And I just filled in the blank with all of these things because I knew what I didn't want. I knew what I had before, and so I knew what I was aiming for. And I didn't put a gender or anything in there. Tears were in my eyes by the end of that prayer. Yet there was still at the same time this like peacefulness that washed over me. And I know he heard me and he answered me because he sent my wife, Jessica, who was not only helped show me what love truly is, but she changed what it meant for my children too. She came along and gave us a new perspective. Now we hug and say, I love you more. And being honest, it took us a while to get there, to let it sink in and to allow ourselves to just fully be in love and safe. But 8 years later, we have healed from some of our old wounds and are continuing to grow as a family. I am confident that opening up my love in our life brought us back to God. For if love is God, and it makes sense that he is here in our midst then. When we found Christ the Cornerstone Church, we were immediately greeted with acceptance after a prior church just rejected us. Many people would call this an LGBT church. However, that's not what I see here. We are a church filled with many cultures, beliefs, and sexualities. We all come from diverse backgrounds and lifestyles. However, we are a community united by Christ. Love is all in this place, and that is how I know God is too. We found our family here, and every day our faith increases. Looking back on life, God was always there protecting me, even when I didn't see it. He never stopped loving me, even when I stopped loving myself. He met me where I was, and he brought me a very long way. Being in those relationships and experiencing those situations, they taught me to unapologetically give love to everybody, especially those that some would judge. And when people ask me why I do it, I just smile and tell them, because he first loved me. One day, the last thing we say or do to someone will be that thing that changed their life forever. So why not let it be love and lead them to God? If it wasn't for those people God placed in my life showing me his love, I have no doubt that our lives would be quite different right now. And it is my prayer that God uses each of us today to be the light in the darkness for someone else. And maybe they'll find their way out of their Babylon too. I hope God's message of unconditional love has shone through here today. And I thank you for allowing me to share some of my story with you.